And this interface over here is 6.3.8.1. This one is 19.2.1.88. This one is 188.6.3.9. This one is, I don't know, about 177.1.1.1. Okay. When I turn this router on, the only thing he knows is how to get to, and let's use default mask for all these. So that's a /8, right? That's a /8. That's a /16. And that's a /16. The only thing he knows is how to get to 6.0.0.0.
And one
19.0.0.0, 188.6.0.0, 177.1.1.0. Okay, that's all he knows.
No, there's extra one on the last one.
No,
177.1.0.0.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, good catch. Okay. That's all he knows.
I'm not able to repeat that tomorrow.
Okay? Now, if this IP address is 188.6.3.9 and it's a /16, what do I know about this IP address right here?
It's got to be
a
/16.
It's got to be on the same network, which means it's got to be a 188.6. Dot something, dot something.
Yep.
Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's call him 188.6.19.10. And let's call this, 17.1.3.88 and 221.6.91.22. And that's enough. Okay, so router one powers up for the first time in his life. This is all he knows. So what he's going to do is he's going to start building a routing table. And he's going to put these entries in his routing table, and he's going to blast his routing table out on all these interfaces. And he's going to tell this guy, hey, I know how to get to 6.19.188.6 and 177.1.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
And he's going to tell this guy, hey, I know how to get to 6.19.188.177. He's going to tell all these, he's going to broadcast out all these interfaces through something called Router Information Protocol, RIP. Okay? And when this guy hears him, he's going to respond back and say, hey, thank you. I know how to get to 17.1 and 221.6 and 188.6. And he's going to add these to his routing table, and he's going to broadcast those out. And we're going to broadcast this routing table every 60 seconds. These routers are going to share this information. And the routing table just starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's how we know how to route packets. So as I build my routing table, I start to learn where things are. So when my browser, and I want to go to Amazon.com, the first thing that happens is I have a configured DNS server to resolve that name into an IP address.
Right.
What's the IP address for Amazon.com? Amazon.com.
It is
176. 176.32.98.166.
Okay. That's the IP address for Amazon, right?
You got it.
It's one of their IPs.
Yeah, that's one of their IPs. I'm sure they have more than one. All right.
Yeah, there's no pipeline.
There's another secret I didn't tell you.
Ooh.
Each one of these routers with all these interfaces has one of these interfaces that's designated as a default.
It doesn't know about that one.
Okay. So router one gets this packet, and it's destined for 176.32.98.166. Well, he knows how to get to 177. Is that close to 176? No. It's on the other side of the universe, as far as he's concerned. It's either matches or it doesn't.
Yep.
So, he looks at his table. Do I know how to get to 176.32.0.0? No.
Nope.
Okay, so I'm going to send that out my default interface. He's going to go to the next guy. Does the next guy know how to get there? No, he's going to go through his default interface. Oh. He's going to go until somebody says, I might get there.
Yeah.
And he starts routing the packet. When it gets to the final router that services this IP address, that router is going to send an ARP to his network saying, hey, I have a delivery for 176.32.98.166. And somebody will come back and say, hey, that's mine. Here's my MAC
address. I'll take it.
And here's my MAC address. And that's how routing happens on the internet.
Wow.
Now, there's other routing protocols besides RIP. There's a lot more efficient protocols. Open shortest path first.
That was BGP.
What is it?
BGP. Border gateway
protocol?
Yep.
That's kind of an aggregation of like a tunneling protocol almost. But yeah. A lot of different ways that we can route these packets. It's not magic, but it's very sophisticated. So that hurt me and I'm way over here. So once I determine the path for my packet to take, routing is actually fairly simple. So, what layer does routing take place in the OSI reference model?
Layer three.
Is it three or two? I guess it is three.
And what is layer three called in the OSI reference model?
Networking.
Layer. Yeah.
Physical data link network, right? Transport, session, pre-session, application. Yeah. Please do not take salesperson's advice, right?
I love that one.
Okay, so what else? That's how routing takes place. That's how routers share information.
There's also a spanning tree for how switches talk to each other.
Okay, that's a good point. If I want to, you had a question, Devin?
What happens if router 3 and 5 both say, hey, I know how to get to router 6?
Oh, no. They'll both say, I know how to get to router 6. Then you have another parameter called a metric.
Cost.
If they both say they have the same cost, then it's basically which interface is not
busy at the moment.
And what's going to happen is that at R2, there's going to be a metric that combines R5 to R6, and there's going to be another one that's R3 to R6. So basically, R5 and R3, we're going to make a determination of which one is cheaper, and if they're the same cost, it's whichever one's not busy. All right, now, before I could do any of that routing, I had to get that IP address. Now, I got it from Philip because he knew how to ping Amazon.com. But your computer doesn't know how to ping Amazon.com. Your computer only knows how to query DNS. Well, what's your DNS server? Take a look. It's 10.something, which means it's on your network, right? Yeah. Basically, it's part of the campus network.
Yep.
You think the campus DNS server knows how to get to Amazon.com?
Not directly.
No. But he knows a guy.
Yeah.
Here's what happens. I have something here called, I'm about to trip over my own chair there. Let me get that out of the way. www.amazon.com. There's an unseen implied dot at the end of that right here.